good evening, morning, or afternoon. Hi, how the hell are you? This is the Blade Runner Minute. I'm Pete.
And I'm Sandra.
And this is Minute 92, whether you like it or not. Minute 92 starts with Deckard cautiously stepping onto JF's floor in the Bradbury building.
Mm-hmm.
And it ends with Deckard walking into a room filled with toys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? We're in agreement?
Yes.
All right. So Deckard reaches the top floor of the Bradbury. Well, we don't know. My notes said top floor, but we established last episode.
But it may not be.
That it might not be. Yeah, good.
It's possible.
But he got off the floor either way. He went to the light.
Yes.
He went toward the light, Carol Ann. And he's holding his gun in a classic Blade Runner pose.
And he crouches down a little bit.
Yeah.
Right? And then you notice...
What's it called? Hunches?
I thought of it as crouches.
No, but what's the word?
Hunched over?
No. You would know if anybody knows. What's the word when you hooch?
Sit on your haunches?
You hunch? Haunch?
That means like really getting down low, though.
He wasn't. No, I know. I'm changing the subject. I just wanted to remember that word, haunched.
Yeah. That's when he, like when they show those National Geographic videos of like the people from the indigenous people of wherever in the woods.
Yes.
In the jungle, they sit real low like that.
Haunched.
Yeah.
I love that word, haunched.
Okay.
Go ahead, back to Blade Runner.
When you crouch down and you see the spotlights coming in, and I don't know if you noticed, there were these multicolored lights. First, like red and green and blue next to him. And I realized that it's the lights coming in from the blimp.
Oh.
So you see the spotlights. I knew those were the blimp, but there was multicolored lights and the lights kept changing on the floor. It was lights from blimps.
Are the spotlights from the blimp too?
I assume they are.
But they're hovering over this one building?
No, they're all over the city all the time to draw your attention.
I never noticed more than one blimp.
Because we only see one scene at a time. It's not like we're looking at multiple parts of the city.
You're telling me that you're assuming that over this city right now there are several blimps all over the place?
Yeah, I believe so.
Have you seen them?
No, but you haven't seen half the stuff that we suppose in this.
You ever seen a baby?
Because why else would we always see a blimp around wherever Deckard is?
You ever seen a baby pigeon?
Okay, yes, I have.
It's from Harry and the Hendersons.
Oh, I know.
Alright.
But why else? Like, we always see it near Deckard. It's not like a blimp's gonna follow just him. The only thing he takes in is alcohol. They don't need to sell him birth control pills.
So
my assumption
wondering.
Is that there's more blimps around, so...
Why would you assume that?
Because it's advertisement. There's blimps everywhere. Like, when you go to the beach, there's more than one plane dragging a banner behind it.
But there's like...
To sell you to buy Geico and stuff.
There's like 20 floodlights flashing all over this place constantly. They haven't...
There's always stuff
around.
I think
it's a production flaw.
No, I think it's on purpose because they like the look of the light, but I'm going to suppose that it's from the blimps. Because we've seen some spotlights like that on the blimps moving when we see the actual blimp. So, to me, the spotlights are also from the blimp.
Let me ask you this. In the beginning of in the last couple of minutes when we see the blimp, is it moving or is it just over the building staying there?
I don't think we're on it long enough to know that.
You know what? I think it's moving. And I'll tell you why I think it's moving. Because I remember trying to see the bottle that the bottom screen was trying to advertise. And a piece of the building, the roof, got in the way. And then they cut to Deckard.
Why is it important to you?
Because if it's moving, then that means that another blimp was immediately behind it to flash those lights again.
I disagree with that because it could be moving in circles. Like, it may have to move like the Roomba, where it has an algorithm, where it's like in circles and like weird angles with real pattern to it until you break it down mathematically over like a
That's
million
good.
Moves.
I like that. Like Roomba.
DJ Roomba.
DJ Roomba in the house.
So as I was talking about the light, so in the previous minute, you had talked about how the light was shifting and the colors changing of the light.
I think
it was the lights from the blimp.
Oh.
Because I saw blue and red on the floor as he's walking on the landing. I think it was just the lights of the blimp that he used as a fact. Because you could clearly see them reflected on the...
Yeah, but there would have to be a purpose for that. No director is going to have a color shift in his movie without it meaning something.
You need some colors in there. It was too dark. This whole scene's been so dark you can't see anything. Except for Harrison go, huh?
Yeah, but the colors have to represent something like anger or fear or hatred or...
Okay, they were red and blue.
Excitement. Red's usually baddies, blue's usually goodies.
The baddies and the goodies?
Black okay. and white is like neutral. It's that okay. noir intro to the minute.
Okay.
And then it switched to blue.
I think it's the same reason there's oranges in Godfather. Sometimes you just need a spot of color in your movie. And now oranges have become like a mythos in Godfather. That means someone's going to die. And really, I think someone dies all the time in Godfather, so you can't even say that.
As much as I love Solo, A Star Wars Story, somebody should have threw a sack of oranges in every scene.
So somebody would die? Or so there would dark. Be someone colored?
It is so dark, that okay. movie. I was trying to watch it the other day. Because if you watch it, Amazon's not really HD. It's 720p.
Yes.
For streaming from Amazon Prime on your TV. It's 720p. So a movie that's already shot, kind of dark and muddy, is going to look...
They don't have any HD stuff?
Not if you buy a movie, no. As opposed to Netflix and Movies Anywhere.
That's bullcrap.
I know. Which are 1080 and they look gorgeous. But still, my I was watching Solo on Amazon and I was like, oh, God, I forgot that it's 720 and it's very muddy looking. So anyway, yeah, a sack of oranges should be in every scene.
How many oranges do you think they would need for Game of Thrones if it symbolizes death?
Very many oranges. Like, just juice at that point. Just, why even bother, you know? Just dump.
They would run out of oranges, right? We'd just have to use, like, tangerine sections.
Dump tens of thousands of gallons of orange juice over every scene. So Deckard is very cautiously approaching a doorway.
I said he was skittish.
He looks behind him.
Oh, wait.
Real quick, he's keeping his head on a swivel.
Yes, but wait. When he was in that crouched down position, it was such a classic cop position where, like, he crouched down a little, and then he did that sideways stance as he's walking on the landing towards the door. You know, they teach you, like, make yourself a smaller target, so you walk sideways into the thing. Sideways with his hands holding the gun, like, both hands holding the gun, very classic Charlie's Angels. Like, I call it the classic gun position.
Charlie's Angels pose.
And he's walking sideways, like a crab walk almost, with the gun pointed upwards.
Like a what? A crab walk?
Yeah, because he's going sideways.
No, I get it.
And that's when I see, he hears a noise behind him.
And he looks back real quick.
What's that noise? And he's super skittish. But then we finally see JF's door.
JF's door's already open.
It's ajar. Yes, I use the word ajar.
Ajar.
But it's not open. To me, open is wide. Like, it's... Open.
Well, it's funny you say that because when I first saw the shot from over Deckard's shoulder,
it was open a little bit.
It looks like it doesn't even look like it's open at all. It looks like there's just a space between the doors when you close them, and some kind of weird lock in the middle. But as the next shot is from the inside of JF's apartment.
Yeah, it's much bigger.
There's like 3 feet. It's a 3 foot.
It's
space
a Deckard size opening.
It's a Deckard size hole for him to walk through. So do you think that's just the angle that we first see the doors?
No, I think
that's a continuity issue.
Yeah. Well, we could just assume he opened it.
Yeah, time jump.
Okay, fine. I'll buy that.
Time jump.
But his door's ajar and we hear the sounds of JF's friends inside chattering.
Why is the door open, though?
Why? She left it open for him.
Pris?
Oh, yeah. She's luring him in.
She's luring him in. I figured that. I wrote trap?
That's
a trap?
That's a trap. We had to get in the obligatory Star Wars quote.
Oh, yeah, that counts. Yeah, good work. Yeah. F5.
So Harrison is doing his classic blue steel where his mouth is slightly open.
Yes.
I call it, what's that noise?
Because the door shouldn't be open.
Right. And his gun is pointed into the opening of the door. And those locks on the door. Did you see the locks on the door? They have this giant slide lock that goes horizontal. And then these giant bar locks that go vertical on both doors. Did it not remind you of all the Russian people you knew growing up that had like the crazy locks? That
100%.
You had to like flip a million things and there was a 100%. Key from the inside and a key from the outside. I'm the only Russian person that doesn't have a bar through my door.
Yeah, because growing up, I grew up... I mean, we live in a building now with a bunch of Russians. But I grew up in a different building on the other side of the highway. With also a bunch of Russians. And we were the only ones that didn't have, like, a box in the middle of the door on the outside in the hallway with a weird zigzaggy bar thing that locked in at, like, six different angles.
With a hole that goes through the with floor and through the sides.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was like locking up a shop in the city.
I had the precursor to that. We still have it, that big silver lock.
Right, with the big key that you'd have to jam in.
That the only way it works is you pull the doorknob and you push it. You don't turn that key. And always left a mark on your palm.
It's just a metal key with a metal edge that you have to jam with the palm of your hand.
You have to jam in.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's fairly crazy. And to lock it is just as bad. You have to open the lock from the inside. You leave the house, push it to push the thing in, and then release it. Because it didn't work right from the outside. That was my crazy, stupid Russian lock.
That's craziness.
But everyone else I knew had the big bars and the twisty things that reminded me of this door. And it was kind of like, oh, memories.
I like the corner of my...
But then, you know, we have Kaiser marching through...
Well, you hear him first.
Yes, well, I said I heard the chattering.
I hear Bear or Kaiser or both. Good evening, JF. And my question was... They don't actually recognize JF? Are those greetings pre-recorded? Pre-programmed?
So. I guess so.
Or is Kaiser broken? Like, did JF maintain Kaiser every day?
I think he's broken.
He's got to be broken. He's doing the same thing. He's doing the same routine.
You know why I think he's broken? Because he marches through what is not his foyer, because the foyer is that small area that he walks into that first... What room would that be?
The lintel.
The salon. I don't know. Into the first...
Solarium?
Sure. Salon? Drawing room? I don't know. It's a room. He marches into the drawing room.
The drawing room.
He marches across that and he marches right into the doorway to the next room and kind of does this roll... And spins around and marches in the other direction.
He does a...
I think he's broken.
He does a spin. Okay, he bumps into the wall.
He spins, he bumps into the
thing.
But
he bumped into the wall last time.
Yeah, he's broken. He's clearly not
so, okay, a good toy. Here's the thing. He's got to be broken because the last time we saw Kaiser, he was sitting there at the table with JF and Chris, and he was trembling, like shivering. He was so in fear. He was shaking in fear looking at Chris. Or at least that's the way we saw it.
Well, someone online had mentioned that he was getting fixed. That's why he was trembling. But would they feel emotions, his toys? I thought they were too rudimentary.
I'll tell you what the reaction really was. I don't know. I remember us talking about it a little bit with some people online, but it looked to me like he was just scared of Chris.
I thought so too until people mentioned it, that he was getting repaired, that's what he was afraid of. But I don't even think he would have emotions, because I would think he's too rudimentary to have emotions.
I would think that until that scene with him and Pris minutes ago, I think he was afraid of Pris because he didn't know what she was going to do, because she was sniffing JF. Remember?
Yeah, but...
And he started, like, shaking. So he looked terrifying. Terrified.
But, so we see Kaiser, he's marching, and he... spins.
Oh, so my point is that this is freaking me out. I guess he must be broken, because it seems like Kaiser really liked JF and was comfortable around him.
Yeah, but he must have to do repairs on him often.
And those repairs aren't being
done.
Because
he's not perfect.
Because JF fell
down. It's only been a few hours.
Because JF fell down some stairs.
No, but it's just been a few hours, so I just think
he needed fixing every, like, half hour.
You know, you have that toy that you love that you call Bunny that has nothing that makes it look like a bunny.
Talking about me?
Yes.
Okay.
But you still love it. To you, it's still Bunny, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Nobody will play with it, but you're like, I love it. It's
Wait,
Bunny.
What does that have to do with you?
He loves Kaiser too, even though he's broken. And he keeps trying to fix him. He's not perfect. Perfect doesn't make the best toy.
No, that's not... love. Yeah. That...
I just wanted to get that thought out. It makes me feel bad. And I start crying like in Toy Story.
Oh my God.
Anyway.
So there's a chance that they don't actually... He didn't recognize JF before. It wasn't like he was really happy. He just...
Like I said...
These are just pre-programmed responses.
I just think that he's too rudimentary to actually have real emotions.
All right. Well, it's depressing. But actually, at the same time, Deckard's walking through the open doors.
Mm-hmm.
And there's... We didn't talk about it last time when JF let Pris in. To that same hallway, and it was the same shot, same mm-hmm. angle and everything. Did we talk about the trophy in the middle with the books surrounding it? Or was it not there before?
I don't remember, but I also remember when they first walked in, there was a lot more stuff right in that entranceway.
Okay.
That we don't see now.
See, I don't remember.
So, like, he goes into the next room and sees all that stuff, but I thought I remembered seeing, like, heaps of stuff when he first walked in.
Yeah.
So I feel like they left off some of that stuff because I could I really remembered heaps of things when they first walked in. But I could be wrong. It's just, I thought that's what I saw. Then we see Pris again, and she rolls her eyes all the way back in her head, and all you see are the whites of her eyes.
Yeah, under the veil with the doll makeup, rolls her eyes back.
She was doing it such a hard way. I don't know if you've ever rolled your eyes back into your head, that if you do it really hard, it actually hurts. Like, your eyes start to hurt. So I can't imagine how many times she had to do it.
What are you doing? You're literally, you're stretching the whatever, the...
I can't even do it anymore. I used to be able to do it.
The spaghetti that holds them in, right?
Right. Like, if you cross your eyes for too long.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Like, you start to feel the pain of it.
I'm not comfortable with any of it.
And then she has a smile on her face, like she's about to play.
She's freaking me out.
She's very creepy. But Deckard is all creeped out, and he looks really scared, and he's walking slowly, and he's checking things out, and he enters that room that's all filled with dolls.
Yes, that's the last shot.
Lots of mannequins.
And you see Pris all the way to the left.
And then Pris is all the way to the left, under the veil, holding her hands, you know, up stiffly, on her lap.
She just looks like one of JF's toys.
And she looks like one of the toys, so that clearly means that she painted herself to make sure she looks like the toys.
Like E.T. when he hid from the mother in the closet.
Right, exactly.
Right. Yes.
She pulled that same gag.
The old E.T. gag.
Right. And I have to say that if it wasn't for the frequent viewings I've had of this, or this stop and go that we're doing now, yeah, I don't know if on the first watching, I would have noticed that Pris was sitting there. Because she blends in so well with other dolls. And yeah, she's wearing this gossamer veil, so you can't really see her clearly. And he's the one moving, so you're really paying attention to him. And I think that if I wasn't doing the stop and go, or if I hadn't seen the movie before, I wouldn't have noticed that it was Pris. But I won't be able to know that, because I've clearly seen the movie before. And I'm doing stop and go.
So right now,
someone who's never seen it to watch this and say, what do you notice?
So right now, Roy's on his way back from the Terrell building.
Yes.
Deckard beat him there.
Yes. Which I don't know why it's taking him so long.
So she's got the door open.
Deckard clearly stopped, too, on the way. So what's taking him so long? The only thing I can assume is because they had everything on lockdown, so it became a little bit more difficult for him to get back. And Deckard's in a car, so even though he stopped, he was going faster.
Oh, yeah, we didn't mention that, did we? That we didn't question why that area was blocked off a few minutes ago after Terrell's death.
We did. We said that everything's on lockdown because of what happened at the Terrell building.
Oh, okay, okay.
I was like, I love that it's in districts. I talked about that helps with the world.
And we mentioned the fact that they're on lockdown, though?
Yeah, all the logistics are locked down.
So just one dude dies and they're on lockdown? Or is it because
it's not
Tyrell?
One dude died. It's because it's Tyrell. Yeah,
okay.
He runs the whole civilization, it seems like.
What do you think he gives back to these to the
he probably has government contracts. We don't live in a police state like that, but you got to figure that if we did, that if someone from, like, Lockheed Martin or something got taken in, like, held hostage, they would lock down that area.
I like posing these questions to you because I love the world you paint for me. And I like that. Someone from Lockheed Martin got taken over if we were a police state, taken hostage, and yeah, they'd shut every street. They'd just grab people randomly like stormtroopers, throw them up against the wall. Who are you? What's your ID? Where's your ID?
It doesn't help that I've been watching a lot of Handmaid's Tale because the new season came out.
Oh, right.
And they're doing a lot more world building now where you're seeing the city outside of where they're in, that's like picture perfect looking.
It's our thing. We go off track a lot during these episodes, but I'm sorry to exacerbate or exasperate.
I don't know
which
one
is make
say.
It worse.
Exacerbate.
Hate to make it worse, but there's so many cool things on streaming right now.
Yeah.
There's Good Omens.
Yeah.
There's the new Black Mirror.
Yeah.
I still didn't finish The Orville season 2.
I've been catching up on OA. I'm watching Handmaid's Tale.
Great stuff.
I'm watching Pure on Hulu. I've been watching Gentleman Jack on HBO.
Yeah. Oh.
And in Chernobyl.
Friggin' Chernobyl I didn't finish.
Messed my brain up. I finished.
You finished?
It's only 5 episodes. Oh my God.
All right, I gotta finish Chernobyl. All right, back to the podcast. Sorry. So Pris under the veil, doll makeup, rolls her eyes back.
And I don't think I would have known who she was if it wasn't for this stop and go, or like this hadn't been my multiple watching.
Well, I'll tell you, That's the minute for me.
I need to take notes of the details of all those dolls in there, because there's a lot happening in that room.
Yeah, I was gonna do that. I was gonna say, look at this doll, look at that doll. But two things. First, they're probably dolls and items and toys that we've already documented in previous minutes. And two, I was gonna save it for the next minute because
we see them more.
I don't think the thing happens in the next minute.
I think it's a minute after that.
I think it's a minute after. I think the next 60 seconds is going to be him approaching
and looking at each doll.
Random dolls.
Yeah, we'll talk about the dolls.
So these are going to be these minutes have been rough. That last one, this one, and probably the next
especially
one.
Especially after going from, like, it was all quiet, and then some action, and we're all revved up, and now it's like these quiet minutes again.
Yeah.
You know, like the credits.
Not
the
that
beginning.
It's not enjoyable, but they're
more. They're necessary, obviously.
They're more enjoyable to watch than they are to take notes on and have a show.
There's only so much I could talk about the railings and the Badbury.
I was this close to talking to researching, like my hand was over the keyboard of my laptop to research the bricks in the Bradbury building.
Oh my god.
I was just running out of things to say. I mean, I'm sure there's a million things we could talk about with set design and lighting and things of that nature.
We're not very good at this though, so.
But no, well, it's not that we're not good at it. It's just we don't find that stuff interesting. So we wouldn't want to.
I do sometimes. I don't want to research that.
It depends on the stuff, you're right. But no, generally, I don't like to sit there and talk about who did the lighting and why they did it this way.
I don't like to talk about it, but I like to hear about those things. Is that weird?
No.
I don't know enough. Like, you talked about undercranking. I don't know enough about that to talk about it.
Yeah, and when I read a couple of articles, and it was like just these. They went on too much about I get it, you're passionate about filmmaking and the all the technical aspects that you know that go into it.
I'm not really.
I'm sorry.
I'm more enthusiastic about watching the film.
Yes. I love hearing about this little effect we did to achieve this look.
Yes.
Fine, briefly, but briefly. It's gotta be briefly for me.
And we're also under this thing right now where it's practically summer here. And it was like 80 degrees all day, and we're sitting in a hot, humid car.
Oh, right. That's another issue,
and
guys.
And I'm slowly starting to sweat.
Yes.
And it's just not comfortable.
It's not, you know what it is? It's not like not sweating. It's the opposite of not sweating.
I feel like we need to make sure next time you have a day off, that I take a day off, and we just record as many episodes as humanly possible.
It's just so,
because I don't want to do this anymore.
It's
this
just
is hot.
So nice not sweating that it makes these sessions in the car with the windows closed and the engine off, because we don't want the air conditioner showing up.
The sound, yes.
The sound of the air conditioner on the recording.
We're thinking of you people. We suffer for you.
This is
suffering
insane.
For you. They should all send me cherry gummies.
What are we doing?
They should all send me cherry guppies. Gummies, that's what I want. I want cherry gummies. Everyone send me gummies.
But it's fun. Kinda, I guess. Alright,
like
I'm done.
Ones.
I'm done with my minute.
Caribou.
You done?
They're delicious.
You're deliriously tired.
I'm so hot.
Okay.
And I never complain that I'm hot, and you know that.
I'm gonna stop recording and then turn on the engine and the air conditioner.
Can I
you ready?
Hug the air conditioner vent? Do it so they can hear how hot I was.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone. Push the button.
I'll push the button.
Push the button first. You can edit that out.
This button? This button right here? Oh, yeah. There you go.
Oh,
yeah.
That's the stuff. I love Freon.
So for now.